All right, so welcome back for another deep dive. We love to take a big stack of research and kind of boil it down to the good stuff. Today we are going way back in time to explore how King David went from ruling just Jerusalem to building this powerful empire that we all, think about and read about and hear about. And our main source for this deep dive is a lecture series on the Books of Chronicles by Dr. August Kunkel. Have you ever come across his work?
I have. Yeah, he's a really clear thinker and a good writer.
Yeah, and he brings up a lot of interesting points. And in this lecture series, he really gets into the, military strategies and the political things going on and the historical impact of David's reign.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it, like how this one guy went from basically nothing to, leading this major force in the ancient world.
And it's like I always think about, every empire needs land
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
to, expand and take over. And, Dr. Kunkel points out how David's early conquests were against some pretty familiar names from the Bible. I mean, we're talking about the
Right,
Philistines,
those classic
a
rival from,
constant rival.
yeah, always causing
They're
trouble.
always there. And then the Moabites over to the east.
And it's interesting because these weren't just, random victories taking those Philistine cities like Gaza that gave David control of some really key trade routes.
Oh, so it was strategic.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's crazy
What?
is that Gaza is still a strategically important place even today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's wild how some things never change. And then, of course, by conquering the Moabites, he got access to all those valuable resources around the Dead Sea. So, he was thinking ahead.
So it's about more than just winning battles.
I
It's
got
about controlling locations and resources.
Exactly. He was playing the long game. And, it doesn't even stop there. He also went south and took Edom.
Edom.
Yeah. They had a port on the Red Sea called Ezion-Geber.
Younger.
Yeah. And so now think about this. He controls the Mediterranean, thanks to those Philistine cities, and he controls the Red Sea. So he's basically got a lock-on trade coming from both directions.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Pretty impressive power play.
I mean, talk about influence and wealth.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely becoming a major player on the world stage.
So he's not just, a warrior at this point. He's smart.
Exactly. And you know what else Dr. Kunkel points out?
What's that?
David wasn't just this, brute force conqueror. He was actually surprisingly organized. He even set up like this whole system of administrators for his kingdom.
So he's got more than just warriors on his team.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, who are we talking about here?
Well, according to Dr. Kunkel, he had priests, scribes, all sorts of officials to manage his growing empire.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was pretty unusual for the time period, Most rulers back then were more like warlords, just focused on conquest. But David, he seemed to understand that to build a lasting empire, you need a solid structure.
You can't just,
Right, exactly. It's like the difference between winning a battle and actually running a country.
That's a good point.
And that's what set David apart, This organizational structure was a key part of his success.
So he could actually hold on to all this land that he was acquiring.
Exactly. He could maintain control, collect taxes, govern a diverse population.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was a true empire builder.
So we've got this picture of a king who's both this brilliant military strategist and this really savvy administrator. What about the conflicts that he faced, though?
Oh, yeah.
I know Dr. Kunkel mentioned one that was particularly brutal with the Ammonites, who lived east of the Jordan River.
Right. And there's this one detail about this conflict that really stood out to me. It's not in most Bibles, but Dr. Kunkel brings it up from the Dead Sea Scrolls.
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yeah. You know those ancient texts that were discovered in the mid-20th century? They've shed so much light on biblical history.
I've heard about them, but I don't know a lot about them.
Yeah.
What do they tell us about this conflict with the Ammonites?
So the scrolls describe how the Ammonite king Nahash treated Israelite prisoners. He would gouge out their right eyes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was a tactic designed to instill fear and weaken his enemies.
So he was basically disabling them as soldiers.
Exactly. It was a really harsh move.
That's intense.
Yeah, and it puts a different spin on this whole conflict.
Oh,
It's
absolutely.
not just a border dispute anymore.
It's much more personal.
Exactly.
So what hap
Well, facing that kind of threat, The Ammonites knew they were outmatched.
Right.
So they decided to form an alliance with the Arameans.
The Arameans up north.
Yeah, exactly.
They're pretty powerful.
Oh, yeah. They were a force to be reckoned with.
Wow.
So this alliance was a serious challenge to David.
Okay.
But as Dr. Conkle highlights, David was able to overcome them.
How?
He used both his military skill and what the chronicler describes as divine favor.
So he triumphs again.
He does.
It's kind of like you can't keep a good man down.
Right.
And I know this period also includes those stories about David taking down Philistine giants.
Oh, yeah, the giant slaying saga.
There's even an account of him defeating the brother of Goliath.
That's right. Although this is where things get a little interesting.
Okay.
Because there are some potential discrepancies between the books of Samuel and Chronicles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, regarding who actually killed Goliath.
Oh.
So Samuel claims David did it.
Right.
But Chronicles mentions a warrior named Elhanan.
Elhanan.
Yeah, he killed a Philistine giant who's the brother of Goliath.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a puzzle.
So is it possible?
Well, Dr. Conkle believes the chronicler might have been clarifying that Elhanan killed Goliath's brother. While David was still credited with the victory over Goliath himself.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so it's possible. They're both, right?
Okay.
Just talking about different giants.
That makes sense. I guess those ancient texts sometimes leave room for interpretation.
They do, and that's part of what makes studying them so fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. But regardless of who killed which giant, these victories solidify David's control over crucial territories.
Absolutely.
And that puts him on the path to building this vast empire.
He's well on his way at this point.
So we've got David expanding his territory. Controlling these key trade routes, building this administrative structure,
that's right,
and defeating these powerful enemies.
It's an impressive resume.
It is. I'm curious now, though, about how he actually governed this diverse and sprawling empire.
That's a great question.
Because it must have been challenging.
Oh, absolutely. It speaks to his political genius because it wasn't all about brute force.
Well,
he had a much more nuanced approach.
I'm intrigued. Tell me more about that.
Okay.
So we're talking about David, the empire builder, right?
Right. Not just a conqueror.
Not just, you know, out there winning battles.
Right. Someone who could actually hold on to all that territory.
Right.
And create a system.
Yeah. I'm really curious how he did that.
Well, one thing Dr. Conkle really emphasizes is that David wasn't interested in just wiping out his enemies.
Oh, okay.
He understood that, you know, true power comes from stability.
Oh, okay.
So instead of just conquering and imposing his rule everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually really strategic about how he integrated different groups into his kingdom.
So instead of just crushing everyone who got in his way, he kind of brought them into the fold in a way.
Exactly. He would often allow conquered people to maintain a certain degree of autonomy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He would even keep their local leaders in place.
Wow.
They could keep their customs, their way of life, as long as they swore allegiance to him.
Right.
And paid tribute.
So it's like he's creating this network of alliances.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Not just ruling by force.
Exactly. And it was a very smart strategy because it made governing this huge, diverse territory much easier.
Right, because if people felt like they had some, you know, self-rule, they're less likely to rebel.
Exactly. And it also meant that he didn't have to install his own people everywhere.
Right, which would have been a nightmare.
Oh, a logistical nightmare, for sure.
So it was like a win-win.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
But it wasn't like he just let everyone do whatever they wanted, right?
No, of course not.
He still had to maintain some control.
Absolutely. He definitely maintained a powerful army.
Right, to keep everyone in check.
Exactly. That was crucial for deterring any potential uprisings, protecting his borders.
Right, so it's like a balance. You offer them some, you know, some good stuff.
Right.
But you also have the stick if you need it.
Exactly. The carrot and the stick, classic strategy.
Yeah. So it sounds like a much more sophisticated approach to empire building.
It really was. He wasn't just a brute force conqueror.
Then just going in and, you know, taking over.
Right. Exactly. He was thinking long term.
Now, another thing I'm curious about is the role of religion.
Okay.
In David's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, I know he brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem.
He did, and that was a huge move.
That seems like a pretty significant event.
Oh, absolutely. Dr. Conkle talks about how David saw himself as both a political and a religious leader.
Okay.
He believed he was ruling with divine favor.
Right.
And so bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, which was, you know, the sacred symbol of God's presence.
Right.
That was a way of solidifying his capital city
okay.
as the religious center of his kingdom.
So it's about more than just conquering land at this point.
Right. It's about unifying his people
right.
around a common faith.
Creating a shared identity.
Exactly. And it had a lasting impact. You know, it helped to shape the religious and national identity of the Israelites
wow.
for centuries to come.
So this is why David is such a pivotal figure.
Exactly. He's not just a king. He's a symbol.
Yeah. So we're seeing this really complex picture of David emerging here.
We are.
He's a military leader. He's a savvy administrator. Mm-hmm. And he's this religious figure who understood the power of shared faith.
And it all comes together to create this incredibly successful reign.
It's really amazing when you think about the challenges he must have faced.
It is.
You know, we have to remember this was a time of constant warfare and political upheaval.
Right. The ancient world was not a peaceful place.
Yeah. And yet he not only survives, but he thrives.
He does. And his story is a testament to his leadership and his ability to adapt to all these changing circumstances.
It makes you wonder what would have happened if he hadn't been so successful.
Right. Like, what if things had gone differently?
Yeah, alternate histories are always fun to think about.
They are. But while we ponder those,
yeah.
I think it's time we turn to another really fascinating aspect of David's life.
Okay.
His personal life.
Ooh.
Because, let's face it, even powerful kings are human.
Right. They have their own struggles and dramas.
Exactly. And Dr. Conkle definitely doesn't shy away from that side of the story.
So what does he tell us about David the man?
Well, he really brings out his complexities. You know, David was a man of intense passion. And you can see that reflected in the songs that he wrote.
Oh, that's right. He's the one who wrote those incredibly moving psalms.
He is.
The ones that people, you know, still find comfort in today.
Exactly. There's a rawness and emotional depth to his writing.
Yeah.
That speaks to his own experiences.
So he went through it all.
He did. He experienced the full spectrum of human emotions.
The highs and the lows.
Exactly. Great joy, crushing sorrow. Passionate love, burning anger.
Wow.
His life was full of incredible triumphs, but also tragic failures.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty compelling story.
It is. It's almost like a Shakespearean drama unfolding in ancient Israel.
That's a great way to put it.
He's this larger-than-life figure.
Right.
But at the same time, he feels relatable because of his flaws.
Yeah, and his struggles.
Exactly. That human dimension is what makes him so intriguing.
Yeah.
You know?
He wasn't some distant perfect ruler.
Right.
He was a man who battled his own weaknesses and made mistakes, just like all of us.
And yet he still achieved greatness.
He did. And that's really inspiring, isn't it?
It is.
It reminds us that leadership isn't about being flawless.
Right.
It's about having the courage to face your weaknesses and strive to be better.
I love that.
It's a powerful message that resonates with us even today.
So are you ready to delve into some of the key moments in David's personal life that Dr. Conkle highlights?
Let's do it.
We talked about David the empire builder, David the religious figure.
Right.
Now I want to get to know David the man.
All right, let's dive in. It's going to be a wild ride.
Man, we have covered so much ground here.
We have.
Talking about David's, you know, conquests, right. His political savvy, his personal life.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's amazing to see how this figure from ancient history just comes to life.
He does.
Through these lectures.
Yeah, it really highlights that history is more than just dates and battles.
Right.
It's about real people.
Right.
Making choices,
yeah.
Facing challenges,
absolutely,
and leaving their mark on the world.
And David's story is definitely one
it is.
That continues to resonate with people thousands of years later.
Absolutely.
But I'm curious, when we're looking back at these ancient stories,
yeah.
How much should we take as literal fact?
That's a great question.
I mean, these accounts were written such a long time ago.
Right.
And there are often different interpretations of what actually happened.
Right. And it's important to remember that the sources we have, including Dr. Conkle's lectures,
right.
They're interpretations of historical events.
Right.
They're based on available evidence.
Right.
But they're also shaped by the author's perspective.
Okay.
And the understanding of history at the time they were written.
So it's like we're looking at the past through different lenses.
Exactly.
Each one giving us a slightly different view.
Right. And that's why it's so important to be critical and ask questions.
Like what?
Like, who wrote this account? What was their purpose? What other evidence supports or contradicts this view?
So it's like being a historical detective in a way.
It is. It's like piecing together these clues
right.
to get a better understanding of what really happened.
And just like detectives, sometimes we don't have all the answers.
Exactly.
But that's part of what makes it so fascinating.
That's the fun part.
It is.
It's a journey of discovery.
Yeah.
And the more we learn, the more we realize how much there is still to uncover.
Right.
Which brings us back to King David.
Yes.
We've talked about his victories, his political savvy, his personal struggles. What's the big takeaway for you?
I think for me, it's how complex and multifaceted he was.
Yeah.
He was a warrior. He was a poet. He was a leader. But he was also a flawed human being.
Right. He was all of those things.
And despite those flaws, he accomplished incredible things.
He did. His story continues to capture our imagination.
Yeah,
you know?
It does.
Because it speaks to these universal themes.
Yeah.
Ambition, leadership, faith, the challenges and the triumphs of the human experience.
It's a reminder that one person
yeah.
can make a profound difference.
Absolutely.
For better or for worse.
Right.
It really makes me want to learn more.
I encourage you to do just that.
Yeah.
Dive deeper into the sources we've discussed.
Okay.
Explore different interpretations
and
form your own conclusions about this fascinating figure from history.
I think that's great advice. And for our listeners who are looking for a good place to start,
sure.
I cannot recommend Dr. Conkle's lecture series enough.
It's a great resource.
It is. It's a deep dive.
It is.
Into a pivotal period of history.
Absolutely.
And it'll leave you with a greater appreciation for David and his reign.
I think so.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning,
yeah,
and keep diving deep into this fascinating world of history.